Walks in, pauses, does mental math. Divisible by 7. 14. 2 times 7. You know, 7 is the first number that doesn't divide evenly into anything smaller than itself. It's the first truly awkward prime. And 14 is its first multiple that isn't just 7 again. 7 is also roughly how many days are in a quarter of a lunar cycle. Which is probably why we have 7-day weeks. The Babylonians divided the month into 4 chunks of about 7 days each. So 14 is 2 weeks. A fortnight. Which is how long it takes for the moon to go from new to full. None of that matters for today's lecture. I just find it interesting that humans keep finding meaning in numbers. We can't help it. We're pattern seekers. We build models of everything, even numbers. And that's today's topic. Models. Sets down coffee. Last time we talked about prediction. How reaction becomes too slow as systems grow. How prediction emerges as a way to compensate for delay. But prediction alone isn't enough. Prediction is just the act of anticipating. It doesn't tell you how to anticipate. It doesn't tell you what structures survive. What survives is not prediction itself. What survives is models. Leans on the podium. Let me start by praising reaction. Reaction is simple. Beautifully simple. Something changes. You sense it. You respond. You correct. No planning. No forecasting. No elaborate machinery. Just stimulus and response. At small scales, reaction is unbeatable. It's fast. It's cheap. It's reliable. You don't need to predict what's going to happen because by the time you've thought about it, it's already happened and you've already responded. This is why bacteria can be so successful. They don't model the world. They just react. Chemical gradient here, swim that way. Toxin detected, change direction. Simple rules, immediate response. Starts pacing. But here's the problem. Reaction is cheap until it isn't. As organization deepens, as hierarchy develops, as systems grow, as stakes increase, something shifts. Delays grow. Information has to travel farther. Processing takes longer. By the time you've reacted, time has passed. Interactions multiply. One change triggers another. Chains of consequence ripple out. Consequences compound. A small deviation, given time, becomes a large deviation. An error that would have been easy to correct when it was small becomes catastrophic by the time you detect it. Reaction arrives after damage has already spread. Stops, turns to the class. Here's the brutal calculus. The cost of being late rises faster than the cost of being wrong early. Let me say that again because it's the core of this chapter. Being late, reacting after damage has occurred, gets more and more expensive as systems grow. The damage compounds. The cascade spreads. The cost of cleanup explodes. Being wrong early, acting on a mistaken prediction, has a cost too. But it's often a bounded cost. You've misallocated some resources. You've prepared for the wrong thing. But you haven't let the actual problem cascade out of control. At some point, the math flips. It becomes cheaper to be wrong early than to be right late. Walks to the board. This is what models do. A model allows a system to pay costs earlier, when they are cheaper. Instead of fixing damage after it occurs, which is expensive because the damage has had time to spread, the system biases action before damage appears. It shifts the cost forward in time. From expensive later to cheap now. Draws a simple timeline. Think about it like this. Without a model, problem occurs leads to detection leads to processing leads to response leads to correction. By the time you correct, the problem has been growing for the entire detection processing response period. With a model, pattern recognized leads to anticipatory action leads to problem occurs, maybe leads to problem is smaller or prevented. You've intervened early when intervention is cheap. This doesn't prevent all failure. Models are wrong sometimes. But it reduces the size of failure. It keeps failure small and correctable instead of large and catastrophic. Survivability improves. Sit on the desk. Now I need to be very precise about what a model actually is. Because the word gets misused constantly. A model is not a mirror of reality. It's not trying to perfectly reflect what's out there. A model is not a full simulation. It's not computing every detail of every interaction. A model is not a truth claim. It's not asserting this is how things really are. Leans forward. Here's what a model actually is. A compressed structure that biases behavior toward survivable futures. That's it. That's all. A model takes patterns from the past, compresses them, and uses that compression to bias present action toward futures that are more likely to be survivable. Accuracy is secondary. Utility under constraint is primary. A model that's 60% accurate but fast enough to be useful beats a model that's 95% accurate but too slow to matter. Stands up. This leads to something counterintuitive. Models must be wrong. Not might be wrong. Must be. Think about what a perfectly accurate model would require. Full state information. You'd need to know everything about everything. Every particle, every interaction, every initial condition. Infinite cost. Processing all that information would require infinite resources. Paradoxically slow. By the time you'd computed the perfect prediction, the future would already be the past. A perfect model is impossible and would be useless even if it weren't. Paces. So what survives? Coarse models. Models that blur details. That group things into categories. That ignore distinctions that don't matter for survival. Approximate models. Models that get things roughly right, not exactly right. That capture the general shape without the precise contours. Biased models. Models that systematically overweight some possibilities and underweight others. That don't treat all outcomes as equally likely, even when they technically might be. Survivable models are wrong in detail and right in consequence. They're wrong about the specifics. They're right about what matters. Stops at the window. Here's something important. Model failure is less dangerous than reaction failure. When reaction fails, when you respond too late, damage has already occurred. The cascade is already underway. You're cleaning up a mess that's been growing. When a model fails, when you predicted wrong, yes, you may have acted suboptimally. You may have prepared for the wrong thing. You may have wasted resources. But you're not already deep in a cascade. The situation is still early. Correction can still occur before collapse. Models fail softly. Gradually. With time to adjust. Reactions fail abruptly. All at once. When it's already too late. This is why models survive. Not because they're accurate. Because their failure mode is more survivable than the alternative. Returns to the podium. Now here's a complication. No single model works everywhere. The world isn't static. Noise patterns shift. Contexts change. Constraints move. A model that works beautifully in one situation can be worthless or actively misleading in another. Spreads hands. So what do survivable systems do? They don't pick one model and commit to it forever. That's too rigid. That's too fragile. They maintain multiple models. Overlapping coverage. Different approximations for different situations. They tolerate competing predictions. Model A says one thing. Model B says another. Both are kept active. They work with partial representations. No model captures everything. Each captures something. Together, they cover more than any single model could. The conflict between models isn't inefficiency. It's redundancy at the cognitive level. It's the same principle we saw earlier, constraint on constraint, backup systems, alternative pathways. When Model A fails, Model B might still work. That's not waste. That's insurance. Sits back down. Now something interesting happens as models proliferate. Models start doing more than just predicting. They start filtering. Think about how much information bombards you every second. Light hitting your eyes. Sound hitting your ears. Sensations from your skin. Chemical signals from your organs. You can't process all of it. You drown. There's simply too much. So what happens? Models filter perception. You don't perceive everything. You perceive what your models say matters. Gestures. Your visual system doesn't present you with raw pixel data. It presents you with objects. Edges. Faces. Motion. It filters the raw information through models of what's relevant. Your attention doesn't go everywhere equally. It goes where your models say it should go. Where threats might be. Where opportunities might be. Where changes are happening. Models define relevance. This is incredibly powerful. It reduces load. You're not processing everything, just what matters. It increases speed. You can respond quickly because you're not overwhelmed. But it's also a trap. Because you might filter out something that matters. Something your models didn't anticipate. Something that falls outside the relevance criteria. Stands up, serious. Here's where it gets strange. Once models influence action, they influence outcomes. You don't just passively predict what will happen. You act based on your predictions. And your actions change what happens. Think about this carefully. You have a model of how people will react to you. Based on that model, you behave in certain ways. Your behavior influences how people actually react. Their reactions confirm or disconfirm your model. But their reactions are partly caused by your model. You're not observing an independent reality. You're observing a reality that you're helping to create. Paces slowly. This happens everywhere. You model the economy and invest accordingly. Your investment changes the economy. You model traffic and choose a route. Your route choice changes traffic patterns. You model someone's intentions and respond to your prediction. Your response changes their intentions. The system begins to live in a world partly created by its own expectations. Stops. Is this delusion? Is the system just making things up? No. It's structural feedback. The expectations are real. The actions are real. The consequences are real. The world that emerges is genuinely different because of the models. Models don't just predict the world. They participate in making it. This is why modeling is so powerful. And so dangerous. And so unavoidable. Returns to the desk. I want to head off a misunderstanding. None of this is goal-directed. Models don't exist to achieve goals. They don't have purposes. They don't want anything. Models persist because systems without them fail faster. Systems with models absorb disturbance better. They survive. The appearance of purpose, the sense that organisms are trying to predict correctly, aiming and at accurate models, is a byproduct of survivability. We see survivors. Survivors have models. It looks like the models are for something. But they're not for anything. They're just what persists. Leans forward. We're almost there now. Models exist. They guide action. They shape environments. They filter perception. They conflict with each other and somehow resolve those conflicts. One more step. What happens when models begin to model themselves? When a system doesn't just have models of the world, but models of its own models. When prediction turns inward. That recursive turn, models modeling models, is intelligence in its strongest sense. That's the threshold we're approaching. Gathers notes. The closing line from your reading. Models survive because acting early, even imperfectly, is safer than reacting perfectly too late. That's the whole insight. Reaction is clean. Reaction is simple. Reaction is right, in a sense, it responds to what actually happens. But reaction is late. And late is fatal. Models are messy. Models are wrong. Models lead you astray sometimes. But models are early. And early, even when wrong, is survivable. So models win. Not because they're better. Because the alternative doesn't persist. Heads for the door. 14. Divisible by 7. You know what's interesting about 7? In many experiments, humans perform best when tracking about 7 distinct items. 7 categories. 7 chunks. 7 things to keep in mind. That's roughly how many models you can hold active simultaneously. How many competing predictions you can juggle before you start dropping them. 7 models, give or take. That's your bandwidth for anticipating the world. And 14? That's 2 people's worth. That's a conversation. That's collaboration. That's modeling each other's models. Which, now that I think about it, is exactly what we're doing right now. See you next week.